Good afternoon. I'm Jamila Erickson, here with today's Midday Interview. It is my pleasure to hand the microphone over today to Jason Hess. He is in the MFA program in UNCW's Creative Writing Department. Jason is also one of our graduate fellows here at WHQR. And as a writer, he thought he would enjoy speaking with our guest today, Tim O'Brien. Tim's book, The Things They Carried, is the featured work in The Big Read. So, gentlemen, take it away.
Well, again, I'm Jason Hess. I'm here with Tim O'Brien, and I know that we've been keeping you really busy with this Big Read of Wilmington. This morning at 9:30, you met with StoryForce students at CFCC, which we'll talk about in a minute, and tonight you're going to be the keynote speaker at UNCW's Keenan Auditorium, and I would love to direct our listeners to where to get tickets, but I've heard that there are no longer tickets available, which is pretty cool. Bela Fleck is playing there in a couple months, and I don't think they're even close to sold out for that.
Well, so I'm so glad.
True rock star status there. So what exactly was this StoryForce group that you met with this morning?
Well, I met largely with faculty members who are trying to help veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan to try to transfer their memories and their emotions regarding their experience over there to scraps of paper. The act of writing is a way of getting some of the bad memories out on paper, the rage, the grief, the horror, and putting it on paper. It's, in some cases, an act of therapy, but they're trying to go beyond that and turn it into an act of art with rigorous training and talking about what good sentences are and what bad sentences are and how that's critical to writing lucidly and clearly and with some emotion. So we talked about strategies of teaching, and I talked about some of my own experiences as I personally came out of my own war and began writing about it.
And one thing that I read in the press release for that event this morning that I thought was really interesting and kind of insightful for a press release was they mentioned the solitude that you experience as a writer, especially when you're trying to concentrate on sentences and craft and spend that time at a desk. Coming out of a war and then becoming a regular writer, how do you negotiate that? That need for sharing the stories with people, real flesh and blood people, and that solitude at the desk?
Well, for me personally, it was difficult to talk about the war. I didn't. I came back from my war and largely fell silent. Not out of really psychological reasons, or at least not psychological reasons alone, but partly just to be polite. I mean, who wants you to walk into a party and say, hey, you want to hear about the war? Yeah. The answer is no. You stay silent partly because you feel inadequate to the experience. How do you find language that will do justice to a year of terror and grief and loss and all the rest of the emotions that accompany a war? You feel that you're not up to it. And so instead of speaking about my own war, I began in solitude, the privacy of my own little room, putting sentences down on paper and then working on them until a little story would emerge. And it might be a very modest story about one event in one day in the course of a war. And then another story might emerge 3 months later with more hard work. It was all done in solitude, but it was a way of speaking when I was unable to speak publicly.
And I know that in North Carolina in particular, not more than anywhere else necessarily, but we have a lot of active duty soldiers. We have Camp Lejeune north of us here, which is a community of over 170,000 people, if you include civilian personnel, who are serving that military apparatus. For people who are on active duty, who also have stories to tell, maybe stories about apprehension or changing, a lot of them are young too. What role do you think storytelling, fiction in particular, can play in the lives of active duty soldiers today?
Well, I actually wrote when I was on active duty in Vietnam. I didn't write a lot. It was mostly just trying to stay alive. I was a combat infantryman. But at the end of a day, there was an hour or so when we would dig our foxholes and put out the trip flares and then just sit around waiting for the spooky hours of dark to arrive. And during those hours, that the hour of twilight, most guys would goof off and, talk. And I would sometimes sit at my foxhole and take out a piece of paper and try to write a little bit about what had occurred that morning or the morning before while I was on active duty. I wrote out of all kinds of motives. They weren't all nice ones. I wrote for revenge. I wrote out of despair, self-pity. I wrote out of incredible sorrow, especially after the deaths of friends. I wrote out of guilt. You feel a sense of responsibility and guilt when a firefight is over and there's a dead human being lying on the ground. And although that person may have been the enemy, it's still a dead 16-year-old kid who may not have wanted to be there any more than I did. And you feel a lasting and permanent and indelible responsibility. Guilt is probably too strong a word, but you do feel responsible. And the object for me was to try to be, as much as I was able, to be blunt and to be forceful. The object was not to create literature. I was in the midst of a war. The object was to be blunt. And sometimes the bluntness was even about my own failures. Why was I a soldier in this war? I hated the war.
And the war he's speaking about, if you're just tuning in, is the Vietnam War. I'm speaking with author Tim O'Brien. I'm Jason Hess with the Midday Interview. And he's talking about his experiences and turning them into accidental, it sounds like, literature.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, I was done.
But in your speaking about two things that are very closely related, writing and your experiences with war. And I've read interviews and heard interviews with you where sometimes folks focus on the writing and they focus on the war. Do you ever feel uncomfortable when people come to you, not as an expert on writing or an authority on your own writing, but as an authority on war and the ethics of war?
Very uncomfortable. I'm the war was over, my own war, the war in Vietnam was over for me more than 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a writer, and I spend my days and many of my nights slaving in my underwear over a story, looking for sentences and that may be elusive and throwing away bad ones, trying to tell a graceful and well-written story. I am not an expert on bombs and bullets and military maneuvers. Even though I live through it, I am not an expert. I'm a human being who encountered a tragedy that we call Vietnam. But I am as much a human being who had a dad and a mom and girlfriends and family. And my interests are as much about that material as they are about Vietnam. In the end, though, I think of myself not as a soldier, but as a writer.
And you've certainly established a reputation as a writer, and certainly telling war stories. Mm-hmm. Though, and one thing that is often talked about, I read a recent interview with Star News, it was a telephone interview, and they referred to, and it's a common moniker for this book, the memoir that is not a memoir, which I think mm-hmm. is interesting when people talk about the fiction, nonfiction
mm-hmm.
debate. I think it is useful to ask those questions, definitely. And I found reading If I Die in a Combat Zone almost comforting after reading the things mm-hmm. they carried. But and I'm just interjecting something here, as a reader, never really read it as a memoir because I read it fairly quickly and I got to the parts that were kind of magical, mm-hmm. especially towards the second half of the book. Mm-hmm. You have the girlfriend who shows up mm-hmm. and becomes a greenie. Mm-hmm. And you have other aspects. There's the group of men who are in the hills in the evening and they start to hear music.
Yeah.
And I wonder about that magical aspect. And what's the risk there?
Well, the magical is the most important part of it for me. The object for me in writing fiction is not to tell the literal truth about things. We have history books that can do that, and we have plenty of oral testimonies about experience. The object for me is to make people feel something that they may not otherwise feel. You can read all the history in the world ever been written about any subject, and it's going to be hard to chuckle and have a tear come unless there's some story aspect where you're lying in bed and you're identifying with a character undergoing some struggle and you feel something that you wouldn't have otherwise felt. For example, we all know that old truism, war is hell. Well, it's true, but it doesn't make me feel much. It has a stale, abstract quality to it. Whereas, if you have a story about a young soldier and trying to make his or her mind up about, should I go to this war? And what do I, could I say no? What would my dad think about if I said I'm not going? You got a story in progress. or you have a story about someone full of rage and anger, and you see that rage ignite years after a war is over in a bar or in a coffee shop, and as a reader, you're watching the rage ignite, and you're feeling something that you wouldn't feel if it were just a flat nonfiction declaration about things.
And you've certainly made us feel and experience a lot of those emotions through your fiction. And again, I'm Jason Hess. Thank you for tuning in to the Midday Interview with author Tim O'Brien, who will be at Keenan Auditorium tonight at 7 p.m. for a sold-out keynote presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.